Greetings, everyone, all those who are here today. I just want to say thank you for being here. Amen. Good to see you, Chrissy and Chris. I believe your son is named, is that right? Welcome here, and all those who are here, everybody, just want to say thank you for being here. Praise God. All those who are online, I just want to say thank you for being with us. I would be remiss to not mention your names or to acknowledge your presence with us, and just want to say thank you again for everyone for being here. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to lead, guide, and direct. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give you all the praise, glory, and the honor right now, today, Lord God. Giving you the preeminence, O Lord, in our lives, giving way, giving heed, making room, O Lord God, that you would have your way in our lives, in our thoughts, words, and deeds, O Heavenly Father. I pray now, Lord God, that you would give us that overcoming faith. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you'd give us the strength to overcome all obstacles, every situation in our lives that would tend to be an obstacle or hold us back. But, Lord God, we pray for the anointing of the Spirit in every life because we know, Lord God, that the anointing breaks the yoke. I pray, Lord God, now that you would deal, convince, that you would convict all hearts everywhere, minds, thoughts, words, and deeds. Oh, Lord God, that you would show yourself real. Reveal yourself, Lord God, today to all those who perhaps are online that are listening that have never been here before or have never listened online before and that are new. All those that are new here today, Lord God, I just give you all the praise, glory, and the honor that you would work in their lives. Thank you, Lord God, because you can do all things right, good, and well. Nothing is too hard for thee. I pray that you would help us to walk by faith and not by sight. I praise your holy name. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. And now I pray, Lord, that you would, by thy Holy Ghost, be here today. That you would take over the service. In Jesus' name, under the blood. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Praise God. Good to see you, Doug. Amen. We're going to go ahead now and if you have a sheet here near you or around you, it's called, it is no secret. I don't know if you have that near or around you there, but if you don't have it, I don't know if we have any more up here if you don't. But just feel free to sing along with us if you don't have one near you. Otherwise, we'll just go ahead and just follow along, and we'll be fine. It's a simple song, but just let us sing that and give glory to God. It is no secret. You have that, Shirley? Okay.
The chimes of time, out the news another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you may have longed for? Had it strength or courage to renew? Do not be disheartened. I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night wherein his light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others.
Deserves all the praise, the glory, and the honor. You know, there's nobody. People walk in this earth and they wonder about life. They wonder about their circumstances. They wonder who they are, what they are, and where they're going. Don't they? You'd have to admit it yourself. Oftentimes, we walk in life where we're confused. We have questions. Lord God, what is life all about? They worship things, anything and everything but God. There is a man, a Muslim, who was in prison. He was thrown in prison after trying to pass the border over in Pakistan with 30 false IDs trying to spread the gospel of Islam. But he was cast into prison and he began to pray to Allah. He began to do this 5 times a day, more than the normal. And he would bring in other inmates, and he would try to teach them the things of Islam. And one night, as he was laying in his bed, he felt himself being picked up by an unknown, unseen force. And he used all his known faculties and what he knew about Islam to come against this evil force, and it didn't work. It couldn't work because it had no power.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And as he was about to pass out, there was a presence that filled the room. It said, call on the name of Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Praise
he called in the name of Jesus, but he didn't know why. The Spirit had to let go.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And later, as he began to pray, he was confused. He wasn't sure, what in the world is he doing? Who is this person, this name that he had to call out? And finally, it turned out that as he was, as time went by, he again felt that wicked, evil spirit. But this time, this time as he cowered in the corner. The room lit up with a bright light. This was in a prison. And there was Jesus.
Praise you, God.
And he came to this man.
Praise you.
In a vision.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And this guy, this man, who are you? Who are you? I'm Jesus. The very man that the Muslims are taught to hate.
Praise you, Jesus.
That the Muslims are taught to revile and hate. All this man could do was cry and weep. And he says, Lord, what do you want from me? I deserve nothing but death. I'm ashamed of myself, who I am, what I've become. And he says, what shall I do? And Jesus says, who will tell the people about me? He said, send me. And he says, go.
Praise you, Lord.
Go.
Thank you, God. Wow, the Lord saw that.
Within days, they let him go from prison. And he went out. He became a new person. Living for Christ. You see, there is no power like the power of Jesus. People live their life and it's full of emptiness, full of revile, insult to injury because they don't put their faith and trust in the only one who created and made them who they are. So I give praise to God.
Praise the Lord.
We ought to praise God. Amen. Like that Muslim man did in prison. He ended up praising him. And there are many such stories, true stories, that inspire me. How about you? Let's go to a song here. Number 83 from The Rising of the Sun here in the chorus book. Number 83. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Every knee shall bow. Every man will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Even the devil will confess on that day. Every demon will be forced to bow their knee and confess. Let's praise God for what he's done in your life now today, where he's taken you in the future. Let's go there. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord, I praise thee, the Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Maybe we could go to number 25 in the chorus. And, you know, in our own lives, we oftentimes we get into a rut, don't we? We get into that place where things are kind of comfortable, and oftentimes we're not challenged. Oftentimes we get to that place because, you see, the breaking, when you're broken, when you get to that place, when you feel like there's just nowhere to go, but yet it takes that breaking from God. And it's never comfortable. It's never an easy thing to go through a growing process. Amen. But it takes God. It takes God to do a work in you. But you see, it takes great faith, and God will give you that faith. See, when God gives you faith, you have that freedom to let go. And then you let God have His way in your life. Let's go there. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your nights turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Praise God in heaven. Just let God have His way in your life. Help. Praise God. Help us, O Lord God, now. Help us, Lord. It's another song I'm hoping that we could go to here now. Short chorus. Number 39, Have Faith in God. I often like to go to this one because, quite frankly and honestly, I need faith today to to bring this message. And I'm hoping that it'll come across clear and concise to where people can truly understand and will be able to be inspired by the Word of God. There's no other reason or purpose in my own view and mind to even be up here if I can't inspire people to walk closer to God. Amen? There is no other reason in my view. That's how I know to do things. I've been inspired in my own life. I've been through so many trials and situations in my life that I've been thrown flat on my face so many times. But I'm telling you, it's there where God meets me. It's there where God will meet you at your lowest point. And He'll inspire you to move upward, onward and forward for Him as a soldier in Christ. Amen. Part of that is having faith. Like the centurion who said to Jesus, "Only tell me, Lord, what to do. For I myself am a man who is in charge of many men, and I tell them what to do, and they go and do it." And Jesus marveled at that man and said, "I have not seen so great a faith as this man."
Yes, praise you, Lord.
And He says, "Go, for your child is healed." That's the kind of faith God's looking for in you and me.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Today, as we fight our Goliaths. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go there. Sing that. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. One more time. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I just want to make mention now too, if anybody has a need, a prayer request, a testimony of any kind, please feel free to raise your hand, amen. If anybody has something that they want to share at all, an opportunity to stand up and just talk, sister. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
2 weeks ago, I made a commitment that I'm not going to work.
Yes.
At that time, we have only one day to work, which is the Saturday to sell the products in the market. So I pray, and we don't know what's going to happen. We only have work one day a week.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A few days after that, after I pray, God showed a miracle to me. I got a call from one lady, the Thai lady that I just know, I just met her here. I met her two times, and she called me, that if I could come to take her hand, to take care of her business for 2 weeks in Paris, because she has a massage shop that she wants to run, but she has something, her dad passed away. She had to go back to Thailand immediately. So she called me that if I could help her. Even only 2 weeks to replace her work, to taking care of her patient. And that gave me the answer. God never let me fail.
That's right. Never lets you down.
Never let me down, no matter what. And even 2 weeks to work there, but that is, the door is opening for me to get into the business and how to run the business in this state. Because I'm new here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
I don't know anything about the business, how they're doing here. It's different from California. Every law, every rule, different. So this is the beginning of my career to set up. And I feel so thankful that God never let me be without help.
Amen.
Just want to encourage every one of you that keep walking by faith.
Oh, amen, brother. Amen, and sister.
Keep praying. Even now, everything is going down in the United States. I want everyone to be faithful. And
yes.
Thankful and pray for the country.
Yes.
To get better.
Right.
Even I'm not born here. I love this country. And I want this country to get back in power again.
Yes.
So I want everyone to keep praying for America.
Amen. And we will.
But thank you for every blessing that God leads me and guides me. And I always pray that if God gives me a healing hand to help people, just please keep doing that.
Amen.
And lead me to work on somebody and help them get better.
Amen. I know God is faithful.
And I think I'm not a good person. That only me, God can help. God will help everyone. Only faith.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
And thank you for everything. Thank you for the church that we're so happy to come on Sunday. Every Sunday.
Praise God. See how important that is? Amen, sister. Well, I just want to say thank you for being faithful, too, and for being brave enough to stand up and give that testimony. I want to say thank you for that. And you see, this is what the Lord wants people to see, know, hear, and understand. That we are to be faithful to God. See, because the day is drawing to a close. This earth is soon to be consumed by the wrath of God's fire. Soon, very soon, he's coming back. And we are to be found. The Lord says, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will we be one of those few that have faith on the earth when he comes back? Amen?
Oh, yes. End time faith.
I mean, people are going through many tough difficult times right now, financially, physically, and otherwise, spiritually. But you see, we're going to find out today just how David overcame Goliath. How important it's going to be to have that kind of faith. And that's what we're looking for. That's what God is looking for. That's what you should be looking for in your own life. How to be an overcomer. And I praise God for that testimony, because we all need to follow that example to have that kind of faith, because see, that we're going to need that to overcome every test and trial that comes our way. And it's going to get darker and darker. But yet we do pray. God can do miracles. I don't care how dark and grim things look. God can do miracles, not only for a country, but for people individually. Amen? He knows how to help us to overcome. Oh, how we need that.
Praise the Lord.
Why don't we go ahead and just pray, give thanks to God, and we'll begin the message. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now for what you're doing. We thank you for that testimony of our dear sister, Lord God, our beloved sister from California, Sue, who originated from Thailand. We thank you for her testimony and for the testimony of all others, O Lord God, that we have here, and for the testimonies that they will soon be able to give for their faith. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing now in the hearts and minds of people to inspire them, to lead, guide, and direct them, Lord God, into everlasting truth. We thank you, too, now for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. And Lord, we pray that you would bless it, that you would help us to continue to be good stewards over the monies given here for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'll wait for Sam's green light. Thank you, Shirley. Praise God. Okay, praise God. The name of the message that I have today is called The Heart of Faith and Valor. Amen. The Heart of Faith and Valor. And it's about King David. It's a continuation of my series here out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, as we could go there perhaps, if you'd be willing to do that. And we're going to go there and continue to study, and how that God uses and works through people. How that God is ever so willing to use an earthen vessel for his glory. Amen? Here we have a time. It starts in verse 1, chapter 17. Here we have now the Philistines. They have gathered their armies together to battle. And Goliath is there. Now this was in a valley of Soko, not more than 8 to 10 miles away from Bethlehem, a place where David was born. David was a type of Christ, the same place where Jesus was born. Amen. And here we have Goliath, who represents sin. Did you know that? Goliath represents sin, obstacles of faith in a person's life. He represents that something and someone in your life who wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything that you and that everything that God is trying to do in your life. Here we have now, let's go there, if we can go there now, to verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Socoa, which belongeth to Judah. Now have you noticed something here? Now previously we had found out that Saul, in his great disobedience to God, backslid. Now he was cowering at the very voice of Goliath, as Goliath was taunting Israel in the Valley of Elah for 40 days. 40 days is very significant. We'll get to that later. But you see, in this area, and it says here, and pitched between Socoah and Azekah, Ephes-Damim. It's a water, they were like the watershed mountains, rolling green hills, cliffs. And then you had the valley with a long, beautiful brook running through there. That's the same place where David would pick up those five stones from the brook. And here, now I want to help you to understand here what's going on. Now, in anyone's life, when you give room to disobedience, you allow the devil to advance into your own territory. Now, this is what happened here. In the very first verse, Goliath is roaming the valley of Elah in Judah's territory. This was in the very gates that the stronghold before perhaps they would get into the mainstream, into the interim part of Jerusalem. Now, understand that this is a type and shadow of a person's life. This is a type and shadow of how that the devil works in your life. If you give him room to operate in your life, he's going to come and taunt you in your valley of Elah. In your moment of weakness, and cause you to walk in fear because of disobedience, just like King Saul. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Now this was 400 years later. You remember Joshua and Caleb in the book of Joshua, chapter 11, 22, how that they had overcome the Anakims. Over in that book of Joshua 11, 22, it talks about how that they were scattered, but that they lived in this area, in Gaza, Gath. That was the only place the giants were left to roam. And here now they were allowed, however, to continue now for the next 400 years. And there were still giants in the earth at that time. And Goliath was one of them. So let us go here now to verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. This was what was called the low region of hills and limestone. You know, on the Philistine side, this place called Pas Damim also was known as the boundary of blood because of all the wars that they had fought. The Philistines, also known as the boundary of blood. In verse 4, what does it say? And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now 6 cubits, a cubit is 16 inches. And That would bring him up to about 8'5 and 1/3 inches tall. Some say between also, well, some people say 9'2", but if you put the numbers together, it's 8'5 and 1/3 inches. Amen. That's how tall he was. A span is 8 inches. It goes on to say here in verse 5, "And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass." That equates to about 150 pounds that he was carrying on his coat alone. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. Now, that spearhead alone would have weighed 25 pounds. I don't know if you've ever lifted weights in your life. But if you lifted a dumbbell of 25 pounds, that's a pretty heavy piece of metal to toss around at somebody. Amen? That'd kill anybody dead. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you now a man for you and let him come down to me." Now the devil gets into your life and he's going to taunt you and challenge you. That's the part of the devil's tactic, is to put fear in your heart. He puts fear in your heart that I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't have enough courage. I don't have enough money. I don't have the know-how. But God will equip those who put their faith and trust in Him. "If He be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." What is he talking about? Sin. The servants of sin. It's a type and shadow of sin. The devil will come at you and make you a slave to sin, a habit that perhaps you've done or you can't stop doing, or you find yourself enjoying this thing. Some people like to drink and have a couple of nips on the side, you know, and smoke or drink or party or do whatever they do. And they think that they can do it once in a while. But you see, it catches up to people. Because that's the very trap and snare the devil will use to entrap you. Sin has long-reaching tentacles. Sin does not let go easy, because why? Once you're in the grasp of sin, the devil thinks that you're his property. It goes on to say now, in verse 10, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Isn't that an arrogant and proud and haughty spirit? And what happened to Saul? He lost his courage. Why? Because the Spirit of God left him. Why? Because of disobedience. In verse 11, it says here, "When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. and greatly afraid. That now every time, now God gives people, when He fills them with His Spirit, will always give courage, strength. Will always give boldness to those that are filled with His Spirit. That's how it works. But when you are in sin, and you are guilty of sin, a prevailing sin in your life, you're going to cower, you're going to be afraid, you're going to lose your courage, you're going to lose your strength, your ability to pray. These are things that happen to those who are, if they don't look in the mirror themselves, will miss it and continue on in their error as Saul did. And this is what happened to Saul. Now David, here now we are introduced to David. Now David was a son of that Ephrathite Bethlehemite of Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men. For an old man in those days of Saul. Now that was considered, what they're saying here is that was considered to be an old man. If you can believe that. At that age, 58 years old. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the three sons, and went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and the next unto him was Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest of the 3 eldest followed Saul. In verse 15, what does it say here? But David went and returned from Saul. Now David used to, he would go there and he would play his harp. Remember that now. When Saul was having his fits of depression, God would use David. God would use him to come and with that string instrument that would take away that depression. How important is worship and praise to God today? And God would use that. This is another type and shadow that God uses. Now, the Bible is very true, every word of it. But it also uses a lot of metaphors. Metaphors paint pictures, word pictures for people to understand, a better understanding of just what the Lord is trying to show them. Amen? But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David, a man after God's own heart, with that staff in his hand. No doubt he had time to practice with that sling that he had that he used to kill Goliath. No doubt that he had time to write those psalms as he sat in the foothills and the mountainsides of the Bethlehem area region, watching over the sheep day and night, becoming very poetic, inspired by God and what he's done, the firmament of the skies. As David began to retrace the footsteps from creation to then, he would marvel at what God done. And that was where he gained his knowledge, his wisdom, his courage, and his strength, and his faith. In the wilderness. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. You know that Matthew chapter 4 talks about that, how that Jesus was tempted for 40 days by the devil, but overcame the devil. Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights before the ark set off on a world that was covered with water. Only 8 being saved. And the Bible says that in the end days, it will be like as it was in the days of Noah. Men will eat, drink, and party, be merry. They would give into marriage and marry others with no thought, no conviction of what they are doing. All the while, sin is eating their lives, entrapping them for eternal damnation unless they are found and repent of what they've done. Unless God has the grace in their life to convict them of what they've done. We don't find Jesus, we are found of Him. Amen? He finds us. Oh my. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brother. Now this isn't just by happen chance. This happened for a reason. God designs, He orchestrates your life in such a way that He will cause the routine of any day, of every day in your life, out of routine, could change your life for the rest of your life. One moment in time. One moment in a day. Are you watching and waiting for that? Are you praying? And it goes on to say here now. It says, and Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. In other words, bring back a report. Bring back a report of how they are doing. Oh my. In verse 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Where they were basically, what they were doing was guarding the fort. They were guarding the pass into Judah. But what was going on was that Goliath was in their territory taunting them. That's like somebody coming into your backyard and threatening you to get out of your own house. Or come out and send somebody to fight, or I'm going to take your house over. That's brazen, isn't it? Isn't that what sin does? Sin is brazen. It doesn't have any due respect for you, your mom, your dad, your brothers or sisters, your friends, your family. It has no regard for it at all. No respect. Nothing. It only wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And now Saul and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning. I want you to see something here. And left the sheep with a keeper. Now that's a shepherd's heart, isn't it? He didn't just leave the sheep to somebody else. Or to leave the sheep by themselves. He left them with a keeper. And took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. And Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array. Army against army. Now here you have Goliath who is mocking Israel. Now Satan is mocking you and me today. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of his carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath, by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words as David heard them. And David heard them. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They hid and they ran and found any kind of a covering in shame. They cowardly retreated into every corner they could find, afraid to fight. Afraid to fight that sin in their life. Afraid to fight because they loved it. Afraid to fight because they didn't have courage. Because, you see, it might mean change. And change is painful. Sometimes change is going to require to get bloodied and scarred and muddied. But the credit belongs to those who are in the arena, getting beat up, who are not afraid to get out there and do battle. That's where the credit goes to. Not to those that are hiding in cowardly shame. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." In other words, they wouldn't be subject to governmental taxes. They wouldn't be subject to going to war. They would be free in all Israel. They would be free from burdens of any kind. Oh boy, but it gets better. In verse 26, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And taketh away the reproach from Israel." Now look at, Saul was more interested in his own self-image. Saul was more interested in what people thought. Here you have King David, who was more interested in the honor of God. Here you have King David, who was more interested in what God thought. He was concerned about God's honor. What about you? What about me? "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now that's courage. He's concerned for God's honor. That's a man of great valor and faith. "And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." Oh my. They were dreadfully afraid of Goliath. They were running for every corner. Every time he stepped up to shout and defied Israel. So it is in sin in your own life. Every time sin has the forefront in your life, it will step up. It will shout in your conscience. You can't do this because you did that, remember? People will find out about it. You'll lose courage, strength. Purpose. "And Eliab," now I want you to see this, "and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard. When he spake unto the men of Eliab, anger was kindled against David, and said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" He didn't know that David had already taken care of that matter, that detail. But David was already way ahead of him. "I know thy pride and thy naughtiness and thine heart." Why was he talking to his own brother like this? "For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." How many of you have ever been falsely accused? I could raise both hands on that one. Have you been falsely accused in your life? What does it feel like? But you see what happened here. King David wasn't given in to retort. He wasn't going to retort with anger and malice in return. No. Though he was falsely accused, he had a greater endeavor to think about. That was God's honor. He had a cause. He had a purpose. He wasn't going to allow false accusations and the anger of his brother for being passed by from Samuel, not picking him as the next king. No doubt he was envious. And David said, "What have I now done?" Have you ever felt that way? What have I now done? Every time you turn around, there's some new accusation coming your way. Something new all the time. When will it ever stop? I'm sure he felt that way. Is there not a cause? You see, David had something to fight for. He had something to live for. He had something to die for. Amen? I'm reminded of a story, a true story now. A man, two men actually, felt the need to go into Iran as missionaries. They went into Iran. For 2 weeks they were there. They fell in love with the people. They fell in love with the culture, but they were spreading the word of God. And what had happened is, as they were about to leave the country, they were stalled by the police at the border, the crossing. For 6 hours, as they were held up, they came back to the two missionaries and said that there's something wrong with their passport. So what had happened was that they were told to leave the car. They were handcuffed. They were thrown in prison. All without due process. Of course, that's the way it works in Iran. And they're known to kill people without even saying a word. If you're a missionary spreading the word of God, it's automatic death in Iran. But you see what happened is that they had faith in God. They believed God. The story goes too now. As they were thrown into the dungeon, they would beat them, slap them, buffet them, kick them. They would be down in the ground. They would kick them, pull the chair out from under them as they were sitting there. This would go on and on for several days in a row. A week to 2 weeks. And finally, he began to feel like, "Lord God, if I'm going to be in here," all he could think at for one moment was that, "If I'm going to be in here for the rest of my life, why not check out?" He thought about committing suicide. He tried to tie a rope around his neck and fill up the sink with water. He had some kind of a thing that he was trying to do to kill himself. The fourth time he tried, failed. He couldn't do it. And he hit the ground. He sat there against the wall. And he said, "If I was ever broken," it was at that moment, "if I was ever shameful of my life," it was at that moment. The shame, the guilt came to the surface of his life. He was broken. At that moment, the Lord Jesus appeared, a great light. He turned around to look what was going on. And there in a vision, there was Jesus Christ, who put his hands under his body like this and said, "Dan," his name is Dan Bauman, "I love you. And I'm going to carry you through this time." And the vision disappeared. He got up and he felt that courage, that strength. The next day, the interrogator, the man who hated him so much, the Lord started to speak to Dan. And he says, "What do you think of that man? That man who beat him, hated him, about to kill him. What do you think of that man?" Dan Bauman waited 2 or 3 days. He says, "Lord, what are you asking me? Should I love him for what he's doing?" He realized that's exactly what the Lord was asking him. To love his enemies. And so what happened was that soldier, that interrogator, sat across from him and he says, "Oh, what am I going to do now? What's he going to do to me today?" And what happened next was, he says, "Oh, sir, if I'm going to be here behind these bars the rest of my life, then why don't we become friends?" And this guy with the beard, dark hair, you know, and dark, said, no, that's impossible. He says, "No." He took his handcuffed hands and he brought, "Sir, my name is Dan Bauman. Let us be friends." And he stood up and he got up and he looked at this man like, "What kind of a person are you?" And he was stunned. And slowly this man brought his shaking hands like this to Dan Bauman and shook his hands without saying a word. And tears ran down for the next 10 minutes. And he says his name. He says, "Dan, I would love to be your friend." And then, what happened next? He overheard 3 soldiers telling him, and he overheard 3 soldiers talking in the corner about him and his friend who were beaten, saying, "Look, they knew when they came to Iran they were going to have trouble. They knew that they could die if they came here. But they have something to live for and they have something to die for. I'm going to follow the way. I'm going to follow Jesus." Those 3 soldiers gave their life to Jesus that day. Later, he was in handcuffs, brought him to the tribunal. He didn't know that he was going to be charged for espionage and being a missionary, all at the same, 2 different charges, which required death. Surrounded by the hierarchy of Iran, men with machine guns all over surrounding him, the judges, all the high officials of that country, sitting there in his handcuffs, and they says, "Why did you come to Iran?" And he got up from that chair, handcuffs, and he says, I came to tell you about Jesus. And he says, what did I just say? I came to tell you about Jesus. He said it three times. And for the next 20 minutes, he preached the gospel to everyone there. And they let him go.
Thank you, Jesus.
They released him free. Today he continues to lead missionary trips all over the world. But this is the kind of faith that David had. He had a cause. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason?
Praise you, Jesus.
Oh my, yeah. And it goes on to say in verse 30, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. You see, Goliath was already a dead man. He was already a dead man. The moment David set his sights on what he was going to do, Goliath was a dead man already. Should it not be so in your life today? Against sin, death and hell that come against you. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. Oh, here was the man that Samuel had anointed to be the next king. Saul didn't even know it. And David said to Saul, now you see, David had a different spirit, didn't he? He had a heart after God's own heart, didn't he?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Oh my. That must have seemed like a cruel joke to Saul. Here's a little stripling kid, a shepherd boy. And all the army of Israel cowered behind those gates and couldn't and wouldn't fight Goliath. But here was David. A shepherd boy. After the likeness and after the heart of God. Here was a man of great faith. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Oh, David was well prepared, wasn't he? He was prepared in the hills of Bethlehem. As he fought lions and bears. That's how God prepares you and me.
Yeah,
in the wilderness.
Amen.
And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines to fight with them. For thou art but a youth. And he be a man of war from his youth. Oh, but you see, not only did David have to fight against the indignation of his own brother, no doubt people laughed and mocked at what Eliab was telling in front of everybody to mock David as he went to give those gifts and to his brothers to find out about the battle. Now we had to fight against that, all that doubt and the fear. You can come on in, ma'am, if you want. Anyways, and here was Saul in his own carnal way of thinking, in his own carnal, fleshy thought life. You can't go against someone like that. Isn't that the way they think? Isn't that the way people are? You can't do this and you can't do that because of fear. Huh? Good to see you, ma'am. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock, you see. Here was David's faith. David speaking with the heart, with the inspiration from God. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Isn't that what the Lord does for you and me? He'll take us out of the lion's mouth of death, sin, and hell. He'll deliver us.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. This is by God's strength. You see, David had a heart that was going in God's strength, not in man's strength. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and his uncircumcised Philistines shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. Oh, David's mettle was tested way back in the hills of Bethlehem. He had already proved his mettle. He knew what he had when he had faith in God. Amen. And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Oh boy. Could he do anything less? The world will tell you, you can't do this and you can't do that. The flesh will rise up and say, it's too hard. I can't do it. I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. I can't go. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God says, put your faith, your trust in me.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
And here we go. In verse 38. And Saul armed David with his own armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Oh, but listen to this. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. Think spiritually with me here. Saul had the helmet of brass, but David had the helmet of salvation. Amen. Saul had the sword of iron, but David had the sword of the Spirit. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. Can you see that? You see, the flesh is not proved, but the Spirit within him was. That godly spirit, that strength of faith, was well proved in the wilderness. As he smote those lions and bears and anything that came against the flock, and he took that lamb out of the lion's mouth. Isn't that a type and shadow of what Jesus does in your life?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Oh, boy. And he said, and David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put off the armor, and he put on God's armor.
That's right.
That armor of faith. You know, if we quickly go, I don't know if I'm going to have time to go through a lot of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Real quickly. But it says there, for we walk, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, according to John 18:36. Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. Now, this is a continuation. It just has a different title of my series, Faith and Obedience. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man, true to himself, that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. That as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. In other words, we go in his strength, not in our own. Okay? We don't war after the flesh. But it's, we go through God to the pulling down of every stronghold in your life. Everything that comes up against you that says you can't do it, God says you can do it through him. In his strength.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We could go to Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 18 and go through all that, but don't know that I have the time for it right now. Perhaps later. We'll see. But let's go back now to Samuel 17 here. And I want to continue reading in verse 40. And he took his staff. Oh, the staff. The shepherd's staff. Isn't that what Jesus had in his hand? That staff to protect, to lead, guide, and direct your life. And his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. You know those stones, 5 means death. But those smooth stones were found to be, as I was doing some research on this, flint stones. Smooth flint stones. This flint stone was the same stone that followed the Israelites through the wilderness. Water, the living water gushing out from it. Giving them life. Amen? From that rock of life. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Oh, praise God.
Oh, glory to Jesus.
You see, his whole shepherd's life prepared him for this battle. And this is the way you should look at your life. When you go through battles in your life, what has prepared you to fight? Have you gone through the wilderness? Have you gone through the times of great testings and trials in your life to take you through that great moment? The Lord's going to bring you to a place in your life where you're going to find out that you're going to find Goliath in front of you, taunting you. Are you going to be prepared to fight him? That's why every circumstance in your life counts for something. Everything you go through in life will count for something good if you allow God to use it for his glory. You see, but the devil never fights fair. He never fights fair. He never keeps his word. He said that they would be a slave, but they would soon run. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He criticized him. He belittled him. How dare a young little youth boy would come with a stick, or what he called a stick, would be a shepherd's staff, in a sling? Am I a dog that you would come after me in such a manner? It says in verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. But I want you to see what David does. Then David said unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But David had the shield of faith, didn't he? But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He had a cause, didn't he? Like those two prisoners in Iran. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand. Oh, you know, some people are looking for the softest pillow at that point. They're looking for a place of escape. They're looking for a place to go rest and wipe the sweat off their brow and say, that was a close one. I don't want to get involved. But David didn't back down from anything or anybody. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The whole earth will know. Every knee will bow.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Every tongue will confess Jesus.
That's right.
Even the army of Israel will know that there is a God in Israel, that Saul, being faithless as he was. And all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands, even Saul. Even Saul would see this. Even Saul would begin to see this. He would be shamed for his lack of faith. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted. David didn't wait and cower. He ran towards the giant. He ran towards Goliath and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. Oh, where is that place? That stone sunk into his forehead, that seat of pride, that seat of arrogance right here. That pride and arrogance was the only place left open that the devil was smote. That Goliath was smote by the stone, that living rock, Jesus Christ. And fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in his hand, in the hand of David. He had but the sword of the Spirit. But he took Goliath's sword and he cut his head off with his own sword. That's taking ownership over somebody. That's taking ownership over sin, death, and hell. Amen? That's taking ownership and victory over those things that have taunted you and come against you your whole life. What we need to do is take that sword and cut the very head of that sin off. Cut it off. And all those demons will scatter. The whole Philistine army scattered. They went. They couldn't figure it out. Here there was. Their champion was now dead from a shepherd boy. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. They defeated the devil. This is what we do when we're in the depth of prayer. When we're going before God, we're slaying devils and demons. Strongholds, we're pulling them down, amen, by faith, by trust in the blood of Christ. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron, even in the what would be now known as the Gaza Strip over there. Used to be Gath and Ekron, and there was another city I'm not thinking of right now, but well known, Ashkelon, that was the name of it. That was situated right there. Right there on the coast. They fled all the way to the coast of the Mediterranean. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron and wounded the Philistines, fell down by the way to Sharam, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. Now, we can spoil the enemy. Can you not know that? We can spoil the enemy through great faith and prayer. We can pursue the enemy out of our camp, out of your life. You can chase them down. That's the kind of authority God gives people who are walking in His Spirit, full of His strength. You don't have to cower behind fear and wonder what the devil is going to do next. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." You see, they didn't know who Jesus was either. They belittled Jesus too, in his own town. And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And David, and as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and with the head of the Philistine in his hand. I mean, I can imagine what that was like. What a day. What a great victory. And Saul said unto him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I am David." That was his introduction. The new king, who would later take the throne 20 to 25 years later, but would himself have to learn many lessons in the wilderness. Did you not know that God always uses the wilderness to teach you lessons before He can use you? But to be king, David had the king of a heart, the heart of a king, rather. And I just find this to be an amazing story. If you go to Ephesians with me, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. In closing, probably don't have much time left here. But you see, what happened was that David had to renounce the armor of Saul. He had to renounce the armor of the flesh. Isn't that right? And he had to put on the armor of God's Spirit. And this is what we're to do today. To put on the armor of God's Spirit to have the victory that we need. But it says here in verse 11, "But put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You see, before you can put the armor on, you've got to be first strong in your spirit. I mean, you could put the armor on anyone It doesn't mean that they're going to have the victory, but you've got to be strong right here first. Right in your heart. You've got to be a man of or a woman of faith. Strength. You put the armor on, you can go out and win the victory. Amen? And it says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, the devil's tactics are to intimidate and insinuate, to bully and beguile you by force and fraud. He's going to try every tactic he can in the book to dissuade you from doing the right thing. We don't fight a fair fight. We don't live on a level playing field here. That's why we need the armor of God. You see, when you have Jesus with you, you become the majority. I don't care how many people you fight against, what you're up against. You become the majority. You and the Spirit of God in you. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand." You see, without that strength, without that armor, it's impossible to stand. That's why we need the armor. That's why we need to be strengthened in our spirit. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about truth." What is that truth? The belt of truth. You put that belt on and everything hangs from that belt. That's the foundation of who you are. That understanding, that doctrine, that confidence you have towards God. Amen?
Yeah.
That truth. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You know, back in the day, in those old days, the old Romans used to have these shoes with spikes in their feet. But if their feet were to be injured, they would be easy prey. Wouldn't they not? So we need that feet of the gospel of peace to be properly shod with the Spirit of God. Isaiah 52:7 talks about how that we are, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Amen. The gospel of peace. "And above all," in verse 16 it says here, "above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now, isn't that what David had to go through when he was going through that ridicule of Eliab? The fiery darts of criticism. The fiery darts of the tools of the enemy to come against you by discouragement. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." But you see, 1 Thessalonians 5:8 talks about the connection between having that spirit, that helmet of salvation, is connected to that hope of salvation. So we have that hope of salvation. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints." We are to speak boldly. He gives us that spirit to speak boldly in the Word of God. You can speak boldly at your circumstances through the Word of God and overcome. Doesn't mean that the words you speak will help. It's the faith behind those words that speak. Amen? If you have your hearts fixed to walk, live, and breathe in the Spirit, you'll be well able, you'll be well armored to overcome. As David overcame Goliath. And I just want to end right there. Let that be a lesson. Let that be food for thought. Let that be inspiring to you today. Spirit of God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord Jesus.
Okay. I'm hoping we can go to number 57 here in the hymn book. Trust and obey. That's kind of the theme here. Trust and obey. David trusted in God. He walked in obedience. Amen? He had the heart after God's own heart. Let's go there.
When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but this smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey. Other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth achieve away. Not a grief nor a loss, not a crown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. And obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. fellowship sweet. We will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He says we will go, under fear only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Why don't we just go ahead and meet downstairs for our lunch, and go ahead and be dismissed unto prayer. And remember the lesson we learned today about that Goliath in your life. Amen.